We continue our meeting by discussing the research program.
Okay, so we're looking at agenda paper 8. This is the regular update on where we've got to with the research program. What we've put in here reflects what's in agenda paper 24 on the agenda consultation, so obviously that might need to change depending on the outcome of your discussion on that. I'd like to highlight a couple of things. The first is, as we say in paragraph 2, for the pipeline projects, we don't expect to start any of those up this year. We expect to concentrate just on the active projects this year and not to dilute focus by starting on any of the pipeline projects, certainly before the end of this year. I want to make one other point on timing as well, which is on one of the active projects, which is on business combinations under common control. For staffing reasons, I think we're not likely to see a lot of movement on that, probably for the rest of this year as well. It is still active and we expect it to become reactivated probably early next year, but it's not going to be moving at full speed for the next few months probably. Paragraph 3 summarises some points on the research programme, and some of those are questions that have come up a lot in outreach and came up in the agenda consultation. Appendix E gives more detail, but I wanted to highlight the points that are in paragraph 3. So first of all, the board is maintaining the distinction it's made in the past between the research programme and the active standard setting agenda. And the reason is that, as we said after the last agenda consultation, we think it's important before starting on standard setting to get enough evidence that a problem exists and that a solution can be found. And so the board is keeping that distinction between research projects and standard setting projects. I think it's also important with that in mind that the objective of research projects is not to do the standard setting, it's to gather the evidence. I think in the past we haven't actually always been that disciplined about how we describe the objective of research projects, and we need to be a bit more disciplined in the future so that people don't get confused about exactly what we're trying to achieve when we're doing a research project. Another point that came up was that some stakeholders felt that classifying something on the research agenda meant it automatically had a low priority, and that's not what's intended. It's because the objective is different. We're trying to gather the evidence. It could be a very high priority project. It's not automatically higher or lower than a standard setting project. It's just a different point in the life cycle. Now, one question that came up a lot was, should we try and prioritise things in the pipeline and sort of say this one's coming next and then the next one's coming after that? And we've deliberately not tried to put them in any kind of priority order because we think we need to keep the flexibility there. There are various factors the board will need to consider. We've listed some of those in Appendix E, and we don't think it's possible to predict those in advance. We think we need to look at that when the time comes. And what I expect to do is, when we do these updates, which I expect to carry on doing roughly every 3 to 4 months, then if we see that we might need to move something from the pipeline over the next few months, then we'll mention that in the update so you get a chance to give us some feedback on whether you think that makes sense or not. But we don't think we should have a rigid order of priority at this stage. It would almost certainly change as circumstances changed. Now, the agenda consultation, we say, is seeing us through to the next agenda consultation, so roughly 5 years. But of course, that doesn't mean the pipeline is completely fixed for the next 5 years. If the world changes, and probably the world will change, then we may need to look at different things as well, and we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But this is based on what the board knows today. This is what we expect to be able to work on and to need to work on over the next 5 years or so. But it doesn't mean we can't react if new things come up. Now, we've made various attempts, I think, to try and give people more sense of what the progress is. And last year we introduced this idea of the assessment stage and the development stage. I think that's been quite helpful because it's indicated two things that we need to identify when we're carrying out the research. Does a problem exist? Can we develop a solution? But we think dividing the projects up into those two buckets has proved to be a bit too rigid to be helpful, really. we don't think we need to answer those two questions in a strict sequence all the time. We think we just need to keep them in mind as we do the research. In May rather, we discussed share-based payment, which is the first time we saw a project coming to the end of the research process. And one question we asked you then was whether we needed to seek formal feedback from stakeholders on the findings. And I think when the research project was originally program was originally set up, there was an expectation that we would generally seek public feedback. We now think we don't need to do that in every case, and the board will need to consider in each case whether it's worth burdening stakeholders with that with those requests. And so for share-based payment, you decided that it wasn't worthwhile. We weren't going to get sufficient information from doing that. And so that's something that the board will need to consider, bearing in mind, Philippe.
Yeah, on the share-based payment, I'm not quite sure I understand. On one side, you say no further work to be performed on this topic, and then on the table, you say to be completed within 6 months. How does that combine? Is it finished or not?
The research has been finished. The board has decided that we don't need to seek any feedback from stakeholders, but we are going to summarise the findings in a very short summarised document, which we're developing the exact format of that at this stage. So basically, the work is done. That last piece of wrap up is what's
done. Is staff only work?
That's right. Now there's a question about what kind of input we need from the board as we finalise that sort of wrap up document. At this stage, my expectation is that's something we wouldn't need to bring back to a public meeting, because it would be largely summarising what the board's already seen. Clearly you'll have some opportunity to give us input offline on that, but we probably won't need to bring it back to a public discussion. But that's something we need to think about as we finalise that material. Weigel.
Related to what you say at last, I think, the whole board have to discuss one thing, that is, particularly related to, for example, this unwaged share-based payment.
Yep.
Peter said, we may need some kind of public discussions about some issues, for example, yep. The tax or others. But in my view, it's related to what kind of result we intend to have.
Yep.
I think Peter mentioned, there may be some kind of wrap-up, but it's high-level summary. I don't think, in this case, there is need for such a formal discussions. And secondly, it will be a relatively formal document, like a discussion paper.
Yeah.
Then I will feel definitely the board should discuss and try to, have a common understanding. May have different views.
Yeah.
I think in between, there might be some kind of research paper or others, and we're not bothered about too much, but still we come out a relatively high quality, final result. I will keep the last ones as open. Otherwise, my worry is for some of the project, the board have not discussed intensively for so long. And they try to discuss some issues, but board may go into different directions and hard to reach consensus. I think this conflict is a very good example. In my view, to come out a very formal discussion paper will not be an ideal solution. It's because board have not discussed seriously for such a long time. But put into a bucket, only have a high level summary, I will also feel waste of time. We spend so much time, and then in between, I will be relatively impersonal view. I will feel it's the ideal solution. It's only my view.
Okay, let me explain to you what we intend to do, because I think it comes up for several projects now that we've either completed or decided not to do further work on. So for share-based payment, you've completed your discussions now, and we had some decisions from you in May about where the path forward is. And the remaining step is to do this sort of research summary. And the idea behind the research summary is so that there's something that's visible on the website so that people can find it easily. And particularly if we need to come back to it in 5 or 10 years, there is a kind of permanent record, and it's easy to find. And I think we need to do that on all the things that we've had on the research program. We need to have some sort of closure process so that we can get back to it easily again in the future. Now, we've got four or five projects that are sort of in that category, and they're all in slightly different buckets. So share-based payments is the easiest. The next easiest is probably foreign exchange, where there was some work that was done by the Koreans. The board assessed that idea, decided there was nothing further to do. I think we do still need to summarise that in the same process, and for the same reason, to keep it visible in the future so that there's a way to find it back again. But I think there's nothing more for the board to do. The board finished what it's done. On high inflation, the board completed its assessment of the work that was presented by Glass and decided that we would do this feasibility study on one aspect of it. So at some stage, I think we need to wrap up the parts that we're not continuing with, and we need to go ahead and do the feasibility study. Income taxes is in a slightly different category again, which is, for income taxes, you had an education session in May. That's the only thing you've had, but you decided then in the agenda consultation discussion to do no further work on income taxes. I think, again, we need to summarise what was done, which will basically be to point back to that May discussion, just so that it's clear what happened and what the closure was. On post-employment benefits, it's a little bit like high inflation. You've had one discussion of post-employment benefits, which was labelled as an update in November, but have decided to do nothing more other than the feasibility study on one aspect of it. But again, I think we should have the wrap-up that points back to the other work that was done in November. And then finally, for discount rates, it's slightly more of an open question at the moment. I think you've had several discussions of that. There's certainly something that needs to come back. There's a little bit of a question about exactly how much comes back, and we're going to discuss that with the board advisors later this week about exactly how much comes back. And you haven't yet discussed what the closure process for that is, whether, for example, we do a discussion paper or whether we do the same kind of thing that we're doing for share-based payments. And once we've had the discussion with board advisors, we'll decide where we intend to go and come back to you in a couple of months, probably. What we've put in the papers, and we've been saying consistently since May, is that we think the most likely outcome is that it might be something similar to share-based payment, but you haven't made that decision yet. We haven't had that discussion with you yet, so that I think that's still open to...
Which project was that, Peter?
Discount rates.
That is one question. How shall we deal with negative interest issue? Mm-hmm. So when we are discussing this discount rate issue, whether or not we have a separate project or should we include it in the discount rate project. And then I think if my recollection is correct, it should be talked together in the discount rate project. So I agree with all of your articulation, but about discount rate, about negative interest rate, could you elaborate?
Yeah, so that's one of the things that is on our potential list of things that we might need to bring back, and we'll need to think about whether we bring that back. But I'll make sure we think about it and report back to you in some way on that.
Gary?
Anyways, Peter, I agree with, you know, about the entire approach here. I particularly think it's important all the research work done be, you say, formalized, codified, easily retrievable. And you'll go back 20 years and find some of the IIS data, 30 years with the FASB, but you can't find it, you know. So I think it should be a prominent place, you know, research, you know, prior research, something on the web page. I think it serves to memorialize the work. It's also useful, you know, to understand what we considered and rejected, or the staff considered and rejected. I think on question of when we want to finalize a project, I think I'd make it a very high hurdle to go out and ask people, should we kill a project? Because the only ones going to respond are the ones that want to keep it alive. And so you get a bunch of feedback, you'll get a button, you know, you might get, you know, from the firms of one paragraph, yes, we agree, kill it. But the elaborate developed comment letters will be the ones that want it to continue. Then you say, gee, 100% of the input says we should continue. What do you do? I mean, if we can't decide amongst ourselves that you can kill a project, it, I gotta believe that's within our empowerment. And if the feedback from the staff was mixed, you know, 60-40, 40-60 on its importance, we probably wouldn't kill it. And so anyways, I would actually loathe to ask, but if we were gonna ask, it's gotta be a very high bar, you know, to actually go out, because you're not gonna like the feedback, it's because they keep it alive.
Yeah, I think the one sort of refinement I'd make to what you say is that if you remember, the objective of the research process is to find out, is to gather the evidence, to make the standard setting, the agenda setting decision. And so I think there'll be occasions when you'll want to get quite a lot of public feedback as part of that evidence. There'll be occasions when you don't feel it's necessary, and I think that's something that you know, will be a question of judgment for you.
It will not, you know, it won't be, it's a revelation or you're starting from scratch at the end, you know, about to go or not go. The feedback will be pretty evident along the way in the project.
But also I wouldn't see that as decisions to kill a project or keep it alive. I think the objective of the research project is to gather the evidence. Once you've done that, then you make the agenda.
I agree, but I just think if we decide it's within our ability, need, or interest to kill, I think that's a separate decision than asking somebody, do you agree with that, is something I would be loath to go that step. You know, I think we should get a fulsome discussion internally. You know, but I would stop at that point.
Yeah. Mary?
Agree with Gary's proposal about a high hurdle presumption, you know, about consulting or not. I think in terms of feedback on the agenda consultation, we can bring back some of these thoughts. And I say that now because I think I'd like to link in our communication of how we're approaching it, what decisions have we made about how we close out research projects in that agenda consultation. I think I'd also like to point out to people that I'd expect in future agenda consultations some kind of, here are the research projects that were completed for which standard setting was not undertaken. Here's a link to where the, you know, summary, the that publicly visible document is. It's not, and basically, it allows people who might disagree with our conclusions to be able to come back and say, you didn't prioritize that, you should do more. And not that we have to proactively consult on it, but point out to people that they're not losing their voice, that that's one of the purposes of an agenda consultation. So I think in communicating about the research and what our plans are, we make the point that, you know, you will have an opportunity when we do that periodic snapshot if we got the balance right, et cetera, to provide input. But yeah, I think we should not overprocess ourselves along the way.
Any other comments or questions?
I just wanted to make the last point as well on the list in paragraph 3, which is about post-implementation review, because this is something that came up quite a lot, and people said, do we have to go to a research project first when we do a PIR? And we think the answer depends. I think we think it depends on how much evidence you got in the PIR process, and whether the way forward is clear. So, for example, on definition of a business, the board moved pretty quickly into standard setting. For goodwill and impairment, there's a lot more to work through, I think, before the board's ready to start the standard setting project. But I think people didn't understand that, so we need to emphasize that it will depend on circumstances.
Wouldn't the same be true of interpretation committee projects as well, that they said what they can't resolve, it comes to us?
Yeah.
And that's an effect and an extension of research, aren't it?
That's right.